Our God is on a mission, and He has a mission. And He invited us to join this mission, and it's not, I mean, I kind of pun intended there, mission possible, because, you know, it's a mission with God. You know, with God, everything is possible, and He will accomplish this mission. The question for all of us is whether we want to join in, or do we just want to watch on the sidelines. Now let's get into the detail, and let's read the reading for today. It's from 1 John 5. So 1 John is a letter written by Apostle John, one of the 12 disciples. And we are on chapter 5. John says, "This is He who come by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of man, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that He has borne concerning His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever doesn't have the Son of God doesn't have life. I write this thing to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, I know it's a bit long passage, and I think if you read the first one, it's kind of eye-catching, but also at the same time kind of confusing, right? John, in his letter, writes, "This is Jesus Christ, the man who came by blood and by waters." You know, not just by water, but by blood. And so what does all that mean, you know, when John say that Jesus came by water and blood? I think water signifies Jesus' baptisms, and blood signifies the crucifixions. Now, why is John talking about the water and the blood? Why is John talking about the baptism and crucifixion in trying to say that, you know, Jesus is Son of God? If we try to look or try to remind ourselves on what happened on Jesus' baptism, then I think it will give us a clue, right? Because what happened during Jesus' baptisms, when Jesus came down to the water Jordan, to the river Jordan, and He met John the Baptist, and He was baptized, and He is immersed in the waters, and then as He got back up, as He went up, you know, the heavens are open. And there's the Spirit of God descended like a dove and rest on Him. And then there's a voice from the heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And what happened there is just God, you know, in the beginning of His Jesus' ministry, you know, the baptism symbolized the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Even since the beginning, John is trying to say that God has spoken that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the only Son. And what happened at the crucifixions, right? In the crucifixions, there was darkness around the land. It was all dark. And when He died, there was an earthquake. The rock was split. The temple of Jerusalem was shaken. And the curtain of the temple was even like split into two, you know, from top to bottom. So John is trying to say to all of us, church, look, you know, this Jesus, you know, since the beginning to the end of His ministry, He's not just some random man. He's not just some rabbi. I mean, He's not just some teachers. There's a lot of teachers at a time. He's not just some wonder worker. He's not just some revolutionary. You know, some people try to accuse Jesus of being a revolutionary, you know, trying to overthrow Caesars because he say he has his own kingdom and other things. But John is trying to say here that, you know, this Jesus is not just a man, but He is a Son of God. And throughout His ministry, God has spoken through His actions. You know, Jesus cast out the demon, healed the sick. He walked on water. He calms the storm. So He's not just a man, but He is God Himself, came down. And that at the end, at the conclusion of His ministry, you know, He taken all of that sins in the world, and he died on the cross. And then through his death and resurrections, that we as Christian, we tell, oh, this is the good news. This is the good news, right? Because Jesus rose again from the death, that Jesus has overcome death, that no one has predicted their own death and their own resurrection. I mean, you can predict your own death probably because, you know, if I say, oh, I'm going to die tomorrow, I can, you know, if it doesn't happen, I can jump and maybe I die. But no one's that fool to kill themselves, right? Just to prophesy that they can kill themselves. But this Jesus, not only he says that, you know, I'll die, but he also prophesied that he will rise again. And he did that. And then through his death and resurrections, you know, comes this good news that, you know, this Jesus has overcome sin, that this Jesus has bring about a new era, a new life. You know, Jesus transformed life as we know it and brings about a new form of life. And I think Apostle Paul often says it's like a new life in Christ, a life in Christ, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I think for most of us, though, when I look back at my own journey, when I try to remember about my the salvation, the good news, for me, oftentimes, this message of Jesus is more like an insurance. You know, for the first 10 years, maybe, of my Christian walk, I feel like my religion, my belief in Jesus is more like an insurance. You know, I have a car insurance to protect me just in case I have an accident. You know, just in case someone hit me, or maybe I'm negligent and I hit someone or hit something, you know, I at least I'm covered. Yes, thank you. So yeah, for the first, you know, my 10 years of my Christianity, Jesus is more like an insurance. It's a coverage, you know, just in case something happened to me, just in case I die, or just in case the heavens and hell are real, then at least I have a coverage. And just like, you know, if you have a car insurance, you have to pay the premium. You know, you pay the monthly premium, and depending on the cars or the coverage, you know, you can pay like $50 for a cheaper car, $70, or even $100 for a, you know, luxury car or nice car with a full coverage, and it can even cost more. With God, I look at my Sunday service as my premium, you know. If I feel like, oh, I need coverage, I need more help from God, or I've done something bad, oh man, I need coverage, then I'll come to church. Because I think that is the least that I can do. So to guarantee that at least I have this coverage in case I die or in case heaven and hell are real. But then I just realized when I look back how much I'm missing out and how much I misunderstood what God has given us through Jesus. You know, when God gave his son to die on the cross, he's not just giving us a ticket to heaven. You know, he's not just, hey, you know, now you have this ticket, when you die you can go to heaven. That is not the fullness of our salvation. That is not the fullness of the good news that Jesus has given us. But when you truly believe in Jesus and let him change your life, and he will, you know, you have a new life for here and now. You know, a new life that is free from sin, free from the bondage of sin. And many of you know that, you know, previously I was a porn addict, I have addictions and you know, unhealthy sexual relationship, and I just can't get out of it. But then when I give myself and I truly just surrender my life to God, you know, things just change. You know, I have a new power. I mean, I can't even tell you how that works because, you know, God just worked in my life. It's very hard to explain. Like if people ask, oh, what happened? What do you do? I mean, I'll just say, I don't know, dude. You know, I give my life to Jesus and I really lay down my life, not just, you know, coming to church, but I really give my life and then Jesus work in my life. And I think that is, you know, that is what the good news is. You know, there's the Jesus himself says that, you know, I come to give you life. And he's not speaking to dead people, of course. He's speaking to live people. But he says, I come to give you life and life to the fullness. You know, so this good news, this salvation from God is not just our ticket to heaven, but for this life here and now. There is a life filled with hope and confidence, knowing that God is our Father. There is new life that filled with joy, because God is with us. There is a life that filled with love, because Jesus Himself has poured out His love for us. And I think to this kind of life is what I would like to invite you all. You know, don't let your Christianity, don't let your walk with God become like an insurance. You know, you just have God as a coverage just in case something happened. But God's powers can work in the here and now. And it is this joy that is, you know, so precious in our life. And I also realize, you know, sometimes becoming a Christian for long, then we kind of forget about this joy. We kind of forget about what God has done for us, what God has given us. You know, we come to church Sunday after Sunday and become a routine, and it's just an obligation, and we forget this joy when we first find out about what God can do and what God has done in our life. I remember when I really give my life to Jesus and I see my life being transformed. You know, I was so excited that I tell my parents, I tell a few of my friends, like, oh man, this is crazy. You know, I didn't know this can happen. You know, I thought that coming, you know, church is just church. You know, there's nothing about my life now. But then when I get transformed, you know, I was so excited. But then after time, years, I start losing that excitement. You know, I start taking things for granted. I start, oh yeah, it's church. And I say, oh yeah, God is good. Just like I would say, oh, the weather is good. You know, I lose out that excitement. So for all of you, you know, you've been walking with Christ for some time, I would invite you to remind yourself, to encounter Jesus again, and to remember, you know, that sweetness of encounters that change your life. And I think being filled with that, with joy and that energy and that transformation, I think when our life is filled with the Spirit, is when we can really, you know, join in this mission. And in the beginning, you know, when I displayed that Mission Impossible and I told you that we are in a mission, you know, God is still in a mission. And Jesus died and risen again, but then we as His disciples, you know, we still have a mission to proclaim this good news, to bring this joy, this hope to people around us. And Jesus Himself, you know, before He ascended to heaven, He told His disciples, He told the people around Him, that, you know, as I go, I will send my Spirit, you know, and you will become my witness. As He left, He knows that people will be, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, how can I become a witness? How can I become an example of others? But God knew, and that's why He gave us His Spirit. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to us. And for many of us, we just take this and we forget about it. I mean, we forgot that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. I see just how powerful, you know, this Spirit, when I went on a mission trip, right? When I went to a mission trip in Indonesia a few years ago, and we went to this Nusa Tenggara, I don't know what's the English, you know, we went to these islands, and I saw how a prayer healed a crazy lady. You know, it just blew my mind. You know, we have So we have this tent, right, because we have an event, and then somehow there's this crazy lady, you know, coming in. I don't know that she is crazy, right? And then she just come in, and then she just walk around, and then we just let her walk around because, oh, maybe she's just interested. But then she start acting strange, right? And that's when we know, oh, this lady is not on the right mind. And then me, you know, being scared, I'm keeping my distance. But then there's this one lady who came to her and then tried to speak to her. And then she, I mean, this, so there's two ladies, one not on her right mind, one is also the one that in the mission trip, right? So the crazy lady kind of walk away and then just, you know, walk around again. And then, okay, I mean, I think we're good, we're fine. But then he come again, and then he go into one of the tent, and he took out knives. And she took out knives from the tent. And then that's when we like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do, right? When everyone was scared, because, you know, what if she just like stab people or something? I mean, and again, it's just so amazing when I see this lady come again and calm her, and then pray for her, and then there's a change in her, you know. And at the end of it, we even sent her to hospital. I mean, we can communicate with her. She kind of calmed down. She kind of be able to speak of her wound and other things. You know, her feet are kind of bleeding. I think there's some kind of infection and other things. So the IFGF mission team decided, okay, let's send her to an hospital and everything. And I'm just blown away. I mean, I hear about this. I hear about people speaking, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit is true. There's power as a Christian. But not until I witness that I can begin to truly believe that there is power in us. And it is in going out. It is in witnessing to others. It is in proclaiming the gospel that we can exercise this power. So don't let that power just remain in you. You know, if you want, some people will say, oh yeah, Christian life, it's not exciting. You know, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. You just come on Sunday to church and that's it. Dude, that's just totally wrong. I mean, if you want to have an exciting life, I think, you know, a true Christian life will be so exciting. Will be full of challenge. It's so risky. You know, so many times I reject that invitation to become a witness because I'm scared. It's not because it's not exciting, because I'm scared. But then as I go into it and I experience all those things, that's just when I was blown away by how God is working, that God is not just, you know, oh yeah, I sent my son Jesus and then now he's just sitting doing nothing. No, God is still working. God is still on mission to heal people, to bring back people. And I think we can be part of this mission. And that's why I think this is just a preview or just a reminder, you know, for us in the IFGF Church that this is, you know, our motto. You know, this is what we believe in IFGF Church, that people is our mission. You know, connect with God, make disciples, because that is what we are called for. So I know we just celebrate, you know, 25 years of this church. Woo! He was here last week. Okay, let's just celebrate, you know, 25 years. You know, when I think about it, it's crazy. It's 25 years. But then, you know, if we look back, you know, we have 25 years in this church because of people who has the heart of mission, because of people who's willing to minister, who's willing to go out. So again, today I want to appreciate all the ministers, all the Chege leaders, all the music team, the usher teams, you know, everyone that has been surfing and making this possible. You know, we are all in this together, guys. And I'm so thankful that, you know, I have people like Jess, like Daniel, like Larry, like Alice, you know, people who motivate me, people who show me that, you know, we are in this together, that we are in this mission together. And this mission is bigger than our life. It's not just about our future, but it's something that has eternal value because soul is eternal. And, that's the pictures. I'm just trying to say, you know, as a church, we are people who are sent out. You know, the church is not for people who just came down and sit. You know, the church is not just a social club or a fun club. I mean, we have fun, we have food together, and I mean, some of us are going to trip together to Tahoe, and I mean, some others are already in LA having fun together in their wedding, they have party. But more than all that friendship and all the fun, we need to remember that the church is a vehicle of salvation for the world, that Jesus instituted the church so that the whole world can hear the good news. And I think I'm not going to go into, you know, apologetic or something complicated, but how do we bring Christ to others, right? And I mean, I'm just simply saying through our words and actions. I mean, for those of you who's been Christian long enough, I just want to encourage you to recount your story life in walk with Christ. And I want to encourage you to know more, to join Bible study. I always encourage people to join Bible study, to get to know more of your faith. Because I think in this time and age, when we say we believe in God, people can laugh at us. You know, in my office, I think there are more people who doesn't even believe that God exists. I mean, I even heard people making fun of it. And that's why I think it's important for us as a Christian to be able to answer those questions. You know, when people laugh at our faith, we should be able to stand firm because we know that Jesus is real, that He is our Lord and He has risen up. But for many of us, I would feel that, you know, our action will speak louder. And I want to encourage us to not underestimate, you know, a simple smile, a simple encouragement, a simple act of caring. I still remember a story of my friend. I mean, he's already in Indo. His name is Amin. I mean, his real name is Stephen Susantio. I don't know how he got his nickname Amin. Just like I don't even remember how I get my nickname Penjol. but I still remember, you know, when Amin told me this story that he became a Christian and his life changed, and then he has to go back to Indo on holiday to meet with their family, to meet with his family, of course, in Indo. And he's telling me, you know, how he's afraid because his family is not Christian. And then he's confused, or not confused, I'm just wondering, like, how can I share my new faith? How can I tell my mom that I now believe in this Jesus? And, you know, what funny is, you know, it's not that something complicated or how he has to explain a lot of things. How his mom find out that he's Christian is because he mopped the floor. You know, he went back, it's on a holiday, and then he used to be a very disobedient kid, you know, rebelling against his parents. But then this time he went back and he's actually helping his mom mopping the floors, and then his mom is the one like, huh, is something wrong with my kid, you know? Because he used to be the one that just, you know, just taking care of himself, just, you know, doesn't care about the home. But now he went back home and he's mopping the floor, he's helping out cleaning, he's helping out with a lot of things. And then so his mom asked him, what happened? You know, what happened? What with all these changes, you know, you're making me, something wrong with you? Something happened in the U.S.? You know, something bad happened in the U.S.? What's wrong? And then Amin start mentioning about how he met Jesus, how his life is transformed, how he is thankful for his parents now. Because in the past, they had a lot of arguments. And, you know, of course, there's some anger a little bit. But then how now he can say, you know, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. And all those things, you know, those acts of kindness, those acts of little things is often speak louder than our words as a Christian. And I think Jesus himself says that, how do people know that you're my disciples? And he said, by the way you love one another. Let people see that you're my disciple by the way you love one another. And I know it's hard loving people, especially those who are different. I mean, I had conflict with people in this church sometimes. And we have disagreement, we have disappointment. But I think when God can forgive us, even when he knows all our sins and our mistakes, I think that's give me the heart to be able to forgive others and to love others. Because just how much I've received from God give me the strength to love others more than I can do by myself. I invite the musician to come up. I'm about to close. Let's not forget the joy of the gospel. Let's not forget the joy of salvation. Let's not forget the good news. Let's not forget what Jesus has given us. When we wake up in the morning, let's thank God that, God, I'm alive. I'm alive and you're alive and you're good to me. Now, Christ has died for our sin. And through him, we have a new life. Through him, we have a Father in heaven. And I think through him, we can have this community. And I'm so thankful for all of you. You become my brother and sisters in this church. And let's not become a couch Christian, you know, who just come to church to find comfort, who just sitting down on the chairs. But let us participate in this mission. You know, in Isaiah, when God spoke to Isaiah, who should I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah replied, here I am, send me. So today I want to invite you all to answer these questions like Isaiah did. You know, God, here I am, send me. God, here I am. You know, I might not be ready. I might have a lot of weaknesses. I might have a lot of struggle in me. But Lord, I know you will provide. I know you will strengthen me. I know when I step in faith that your spirit will uphold me. Just like Peter, you know, when he's on that boat and he's about to step out, you know, Jesus just invite him, and Peter just walk on waters. But then when Peter started looking at all the storm in his life and the depth of the ocean, that's when he starts sinking down. And I think for all of us, let's move in faith. Let's answer God. Here I am, God. Send me. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, just want to thank you. Lord, you died for us. You died for our sins. You died for our mistakes. That we may have a new life. A life in the Spirit. A life in Christ. God, what a wonderful gift. What a good news. What a great news, Lord, that you've died for me that I may have a new life. That you've died for me that I may call you Father. That in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the darkness, I can have hope. I can have strength knowing that your Spirit will uphold me. Haven't take you seriously, if we never welcome you in our life, Lord, Give us the courage to step out in faith and to believe in you, to receive you, and to be filled by the Spirit, to have a new life that is eternal. And Father God, fill us with your Spirit and fill us with that joy and excitement to be your co-laborers, to be your co-workers in this mission, Lord. For with you, no matter how difficult it will be possible. For you are the God, the living God, the God of creation. Nothing is impossible for you. And help us, Lord, to believe in that, to have faith in that, in our life, in our difficulties, in our ministry, in our family life, in our career. Lord, help us to believe that with you, Lord, my future is secure. With you, Lord, my life is secure.